like a copy of the Word of God, New Testament in its entirety, offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. It is the Word of God, and the Word of God, don't you know, is sufficient. All that one needs in order to bring a person to faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who came full of grace and truth. The Jesus Christ of the Bible, I mean, not the Jesus Christ of the Watchtower Society. That, my dear friends, that is not a saving message. Bible declares that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is God manifest in the flesh. The Watchtower Society, with its poison, denies the truth concerning Jesus Christ. And if you're wrong about Jesus Christ, then you're wrong altogether. You're wrong eternally, forever, lost, undone. It is the Christ of the Bible alone that brings salvation. And God, in His Word, bids you, commands you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This is the saving message of God's Word, offered to you freely, yours for the taking, if you will. I've been handing out some leaflets entitled, What Do You Think of Christ, of Jesus Christ? And that, my friends, may I suggest to you, is the most important question that you could ever be asked. A question posed to you the Bible by Jesus Christ Himself. What think ye of Christ? You see, friends, what you think of Him, what you confess concerning Jesus Christ, is of the utmost importance. Death is inescapable and judgment is inevitable. And why a person, all persons, under the sound of my voice here this afternoon in Glasgow, need this so great salvation provided by God at His expense, not yours, freely presented to you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world not to make men religious, respectable or otherwise, but to save, to rescue from a certain known danger, that of our sin. It's sin, you see, that causes the death. Why do people have to die? The question is posed. And the answer is because we are all of us sinners. And the only way, of course, that you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner is by not dying. You see, we all have to die. It is divinely appointed. An appointment with God. An appointment that cannot be put off, canceled. One that you will all keep. It is appointed of God once for you to die. After that, unbelief says, well, that's the end of it. Finito. Black hole. Unknown. Nobody knows. Christi did. Jesus Christ did. Arose from the grave. Returned. And tells us after that the judgment. Then you meet with God. So you see, as you consider these things, if you will, it becomes more and more important what you think of Jesus Christ. Death is inescapable. Judgment is inevitable. God will judge all flesh. God will judge all men. The deeds done in the body, even that sinful nature in which you were conceived and born, you give account for. Passed on to you by sinful parents. We and our children are conceived in sin, born in sin, and therefore children of wrath, under the displeasure of God. And this, friends, is why Jesus says a man must be born again. There has to be a change of the nature as well as a change of the practice. So, friends, when death comes, it will leave you in the presence of the God, the one that you always knew existed. Oh, today, perhaps you call yourself an atheist, as many do, secularist, or some other label that you put upon yourself. Just plain, simple, old-fashioned unbelief. But dear friends, there is not a man, there is not a woman on planet Earth who is an atheist in reality. For all know that God is. You know and believe just as I do, but not unto salvation. That truth of the knowledge of God that you have innately is suppressed, is held in unrighteousness, held down in unrighteousness, in wickedness. And it's because of this that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against such ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And so therefore, I call upon you today to repent, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible that is presented to you in the Word of God, Jesus, the Son of God, that you might come to a knowledge of God, not just as your Savior, as your Creator, for this is Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, for Him, through Him. There's nothing that was made. All of God's creation was brought into being. Not by your fairy tale evolution, but by Jesus Christ. He spoke the universe into being. It was brought into being by His breath. He breathed it into existence in 6 literal days. Not a piece of chemical fizz, not a piece of pond scum, not an accident of an imaginary evolution, but a man, a woman, made in the image of God. Friends, you need to know and you need to understand that the Christ that is presented to you by me here this afternoon and in God's Word, the Bible, He is your Creator, the one you do not get from matter. Even were you to say for argument's sake that there was a magical explosion that brought matter into being, that still does not give you life, motion, and being. You do not get life from matter. Neither do you get motion, nor do you get being. You have life, motion, and being in Jesus Christ, your Creator. He is the one who made you, who gave you your being. You do not get loss of love, of mathematics, of chemistry, of gravity, of logic, laws that we use constantly to do proper true science. You do not get these things, friends, from matter. They come from an intelligent mind. You could not know anything if there was no God. Even have a meaningful thought if there was no God. No, dear friends, you are, you have your being and life because Jesus Christ, the God manifest in the flesh, the incompatible God, because He created you. You're not an accident. But then you need to know also that Jesus Christ is your lawgiver, because He made you, because He created you. He has the sovereign right to demand of you how you should conduct yourself in His world. As you breathe His air, as you eat His food and drink His water, as you enjoy the many, many good things that He has given you to enjoy, He has the right, sovereign right, to command you as to how you should live. And for that reason, He has given to you His commandments. That is, that you shall have no other gods but Him. That you shall not do the adultery. That you shall not do the fornicating. That you shall not do the thieving. That you shall not do the lying. All these things and more are contrary to the law of God in Jesus Christ. Transgression of the law, that's what sin is. It is Jesus Christ. It is He who sets the standard for humankind. Not the government, not the state, not your parents, not you yourself. Oh, I have my own standards, you say. No, friend, the standard by which you will be judged in that day is His standard, the lawgiver, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. His standard by His law, His standard of holiness, you shall be judged in that day. So you need to understand, you see, that Jesus Christ, who I bid you to think on this afternoon, is your Creator, is your lawgiver, but is also your judge. He's the one before whom ultimately you will stand and give an account to. He is judging the very thoughts and intents of your heart, even this very moment. But the day is coming, the Bible tells us, when He will judge all humanity. humankind. And he will require an account of you, even for this time, even for this occasion, when you heard the gospel, when it was presented to you. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, but draw near to him, and perhaps, maybe he will draw near to you. That day of accountability is coming, and coming soon. The time is short, the Bible says. That day when Jesus Christ will come again to judge, or perhaps, who knows, in the meantime, remove you from this world into his presence, and there to meet your judge. So you see, perhaps, well, at least I hope you do, or begin to see the importance of the question, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Because this is the Christ of the Bible, the one God sent into the world, that through him that you might be saved, that through him then, through faith in his name, that men and women might be forgiven, that they might seek after him and find him, that they might cry out to him and seek forgiveness and seek eternal life in his name. He, you see, is the life giver amongst these other things. I am the resurrection and the life, he says. That is, the one who gives life, the one who gave you life to begin with, and the one who gives eternal life to those, that is, who believe in his name. So I bid you, implore you even, that you should come to him and put your trust in him, rely upon him, what he has done, his person, his work, not your work. Because your work, you see, all of it, however good it might be, whatever you have done, whatever you have accomplished, however good you might see yourself, God says, there's none good, no, not one. None righteous, not a single one. And you cannot be justified, made right with God, by your deeds. However good, however kind, however charitable you might perceive them to be, no flesh shall be justified in my sight, says God, by the works of the law, only by faith in Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who stepped down into this world and who died on a cross, shed his blood in order that you might be washed and made clean. The Old Testament, the prophet Moses said that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God himself has provided the blood sacrifice, his own Son, Jesus Christ, termed in the New Testament as the Lamb of God, God's Lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Through faith in his name, you can be reconciled to God. Through faith in his name, you may receive eternal life. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved, salvation, freedom from that coming judgment, accountability that you must give before him in that day when you meet him. So what you think of Jesus Christ is is of the ultimate importance. You need, as He alone can give you, a knowledge of yourself. I ask you, what are you? You say, I'm a good person. Wrong answer. I ask you again, what are you? Tell me, what are you? You keep telling me, I'm a good person. Really? How many lies have you told? Lusting after the opposite or even the same sex these days? Or stolen anything, big or small? It doesn't have to be a bank job. You see, friends, all of these and more, much, much more, even your very sin nature, the nature in which you were born, excludes you from the kingdom of God. None good, says God, no, not one. None that understand it. None that seek it after God. Altogether out of the way and become unprofitable. See, friends, sin is much, much more than just simply that which you think and say and do. It's your very nature in which you are conceived. You became a sinner at the moment of conception in your mother's womb. Before, 9 months before you are even born. And when you were born, you were born in sin. You came into the world shapen in iniquity. So you see the problem. That's sin nature. That's the real self. That's the real you. Not the person you see in the mirror on the wall that tells you the same lie every time you look into it, that you're the fairest of them all. You think maybe today, some of you, that you'll be a bad person. That's an understatement, an underestimation. It is much, much worse, believe me, than you care to know. But in order for a person to be saved, to come to a right knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, and to come to an understanding of the worthiness of Jesus Christ, they must first needs come to a knowledge of themselves. And you only find that in the mirror, not the mirror on the wall, but the mirror of God's Word. It's there that your true self is truly, really revealed. A sinner, vile, damnworthy, cut off from God, a rebel, apostate from God, entire human race, every man, woman, born into this world. So maybe, perhaps you begin to see, I hope at least anyway, you begin to see your desperate need of Jesus Christ. For He alone can save you from your true, from your real self. Not only do you have a bad nature, but the Bible says you have a bad practice. Because from the bad nature, from that bad nature in which you were conceived and born, comes the bad practice. It must needs be, if you've got a vile nature, then only vileness will come from it. If you've got a corrupt nature, a environment, sin I mean, it comes natural to all of us. Those of you with children and grandchildren, you may have discovered to your dismay that you never had to teach your children or grandchildren to lie, to thieve, and to rebel against you. They all do it quite naturally, just like you. You see, from that sinful nature comes the sinful practice. And God, Jesus Christ, the judge, the ultimate judge, will one day judge you for those deeds. The thoughts you see, the thoughts of men's hearts, that's where the evil comes from. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, Jesus says. Evil thoughts that turn into murder, theft, blasphemy, and all manner of uncleanness, as you see abroad in Scotland and in Glasgow today. Friends, a bad heart, a bad nature, and a bad record. And a record that only the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, can clear away, cleanse, and set you free from the penalty, the punishment, the condemnation that awaits you. Jesus Christ died on a cross in order that that guilt of your bad record might be cleansed, washed away in His precious blood. So you see, friends, you are powerless with a nature, with a bad nature and a bad record. With all of this against you, what hope do you have? You do not have the power to overcome one single sin on your own account. Impotent, powerless. But then that's what God says in His Word, that when we were without power, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, a person, not a religion. And He died on a Roman cross. He died a death that was not due to Him, but to you. And He did it for the ungodly men and women, contrary to God in their natures and in their practice. God so had to do in order that some might be saved. No, not everybody. The ungodly. Is that you? Ungodly? You say no? Well, then I guess this is not for you. But Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for His people. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. His people, those chosen of God to believe in Jesus Christ. Not all men have faith, and not all men will be saved. Only those who believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. The Christ that is of the Bible. So you see the importance of the question posed by Jesus Himself. What think you of Jesus Christ? Your eternal destiny, your salvation hangs upon your answer to that question. The knowledge of Christ, experimental knowledge, experience that is, saving relationship with Jesus Christ is what is required. No, not just simply you're becoming religious, joining the Watchtower Society, the Church of Rome or Mecca, but coming to a knowledge, experiential knowledge, of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's what's required for salvation. A relationship that is brought about by faith. Trusting, that is, surrendering, giving over your works, your goodness, submitting, surrendering yourself to Jesus Christ, to His person, and of course, to His work, that which He has accomplished. Because nothing that you accomplish, ever will or can accomplish, will add anything at all to yours or anyone else's salvation. It has to be of Christ. It has to be of Jesus. It has to be of Him, the one who did the work, who finished, who cried from the cross, "It is finished." Everything was done that was required that a man or woman might be saved and brought into a right relationship with God.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Hey.
That lady just going in there, she's...
complaining again.
Okay. Did you move up?
Okay, when I'm finished.
Just tone it down or
something? Aye, I'll drop it down one, eh? I'll drop it down one. Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, no worries. So I say, friends, it's so important. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? So vitally important. Your eternal destiny hangs upon this. What will you do? Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, asked the question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" It's called Christ. What would you do? Every time you hear His gospel, every time you hear this good news and reject Him, you crucify Him over and over and over again. What do you think God will do to those who reject His Son from heaven? God, who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son up to the death of the cross, that through Him, the likes of you, a sinner, unworthy, undeserving, might be saved, might come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, a loving relationship with the Son of God, who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. Oh, dear friends, what a question. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because He overcame sin and death and hell, and is alive from the dead, risen forevermore. And those who submit to surrender to Him, to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to them salvation abounds, the forgiveness of God. So I urge you, this afternoon, Glasgow again, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and He will show mercy and abundantly pardon all your sins, forgiven, washed, made clean, fit for God, fit for purpose, fit for living, and fit for dying. Because that time is coming, as it must come to us all. Whether it be a bus, a truck, a appointment, and after that, the judgment. So my question, what do you think about Jesus Christ in that light becomes very serious, very, very important. Or you can mock and you can sneer. There were all them and more around the cross where Jesus was dying. But there were also those who were being saved. The centurion who physically crucified Jesus cried out in the end, "Truly this was the Son of God." A dying thief and a murderer with his dying breath turned to Jesus, "Lord, remember me." And the assurance of eternal salvation was granted to him. I ask you, not only what do you think of Jesus Christ, I ask you, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Because that will determine your eternal destiny. Because that's the basis on which God will judge you in that day. When you meet God, when you breathe your last, when sin takes you out of this world, and you meet with God, He will deal with you on the basis of what you have done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. I commend Him to you. I commend Him to you. And I bid you to repent. I bid you in His own words, repent ye and believe the gospel, Glasgow. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And you can only but enter that kingdom in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God sent His Son into the world, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours for the taking, freely offered. Receive, do with it as you will. It is the Word of God, and it is here that you will find the Christ of God, the Savior, only Savior of sinners. And those who believe in Him should live.